Our study tonight is out of the book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15 to chapter 6, verse 3. Remember that there are no chapter breaks in the original texts, and so we go by the subject matter, and it's unfortunate. They should have had a chapter break at another time, but anyway. God's punishment, anticipating Israel's repentance and restoration. Hosea 5:16-6:3. God's punishment is very painful, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, according to Hebrews 12:11. This was the theme of Hosea, the deathbed prophet of Israel, the last prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel before it fell to Assyria in divine judgment. Hosea 5:15-6:3 presents the longing of God and Hosea for Israel's true repentance following great national distress. That'll bring the nation back to the Lord. So we view this passage for our insight and edification. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at it. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15 to 6:3. This is the Lord speaking. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Then the prophet speaks, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain, unto the earth. In verse 15, God directed himself to wait for Israel's true repentance to occur following her future great trials. By use of the cohortative form of the verb return, shuv, the cohortative is the volitional mood that is described in the first person singular imperfect. It's ashuvah. The ah ending indicates that it's the cohortative. It's the imperfect form, but it's in the cohortative. Cohortive is, it's like a command, but it's not as strong as a command. It's saying, let us do it, let me, whatever. That's a cohortative. So by use of the cohortative form of the verb return, the volitional mood described in the first person singular imperfect, ashiva, God urged himself, let me return unto my place. Normally they translate this, I will return. But I prefer using the cohortative, let me return unto my place. To wait until Israel had acknowledged her guilt and sought his face of favor in true repentance. The reason I'm making a big thing about the cohortative is that the prophet, in response to this, he jumps on with a bunch of cohortatives himself, which is fascinating. You don't get this in the English, unfortunately, but it's very, very rich in the Hebrew text. Such repentance would occur only after the people had gone through great distress, when they would earnestly seek him. Now, this statement anticipates Israel's true repentance that will occur as a result of the nation's great trials in the future great tribulation. It's described, one of the passages that's described in is Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 to chapter 13, verse 1, where Israel, at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, will repent. And they're going to look at his hands and see that there's scars in his hands, see this wound in his side, and will say, what happened to you? Who did that to you? And Jesus will say, my countrymen did it to me. Then they're going to recognize, we, the people of Israel, we did that. This is our Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they will be shocked, and they will grieve deeply. In fact, at that point when they grieve deeply, there's a beautiful verse in Zechariah 13:1. It says, God will open up a fountain of cleansing in Jerusalem, and he will cleanse the people, the nation of Israel, of their sin. And it's going to be a wonderful time. But God already, back in Hosea, this is before the fall of the northern kingdom to Assyria. Even then, he was looking forward to the great tribulation, which is yet to occur. Because he knew that was the only thing that was going to get Israel out of this. Well, the prophet Hosea responded to God's words by calling on the nation Israel to repent. Hosea responded to God's use of the cohortative of shuv in the first person singular, back in Hosea 5:15, to use the cohortative in the first person plural imperfect, in Hosea 5:15, to address his countrymen in Hosea 6:1 with the verb nashuvah, saying, let us return unto Yahweh. So God said, let me return to my place. And the prophet says, let us return to Yahweh, and Yahweh the Lord. The prophet's cohortative is backed by his claim that since God, and the pronoun he is emphatic, was the one who will have torn Israel's people in the trials of the great tribulation, that he would also heal them. He would have injured them, so he would bind them up, and he would bind up their wounds. So here's the prophet Hosea. He's looking forward to the great tribulation too. Now, he doesn't know how far that is. He doesn't know how distant that is. Because when they came back from Babylon, they were going to have tribulation, and then the king was going to set himself up. This is why when Jesus showed up, they were expecting the kingdom. They thought, we're going to have it. But not to be. It's going to be postponed because they rejected the Lord. Well, Hosea's claimed that after 2 days, God would revive them, that on the third day, he would restore them to live in his presence, figuratively presents God's punishment as being short in comparison to the prolonged days of great blessing that will follow Israel's repentance. The Great Tribulation is going to be a terrible time for Israel. Two-thirds of the people will be killed or will die. And one-third of the people will survive, and they will be really refined as gold. And God's going to have the kingdom. But the tribulation is 7 years long. The Messianic kingdom is 1,000 years. And then you go into the eternal state where it's eternal blessing. So the prophet says, the punishment is relatively short. We're going to remember the blessing that's going to come. Often the tribulation is presented to a woman who goes into labor. And while she's in labor, you know, she's just focusing on the intense pain that's involved. But as soon as that baby is born and she hears the baby's cry, all of a sudden, whoa, you know, there's a baby. And from then on, it's the rest of the life of the baby. And so the mother's caught up with that. And then, so that's what it's going to be like for Israel. She's going to have tribulation, but after that, there's this tremendous time of blessing and peace. And so she's going to look forward to it. Hosea encouraged his countrymen. By additional uses of the cohortative form of the verb in the first person plural, Hosea urged Israel, let us acknowledge, vaneda, notice the ah ending there of the cohortative, let us pursue, near depa, once again the ah ending, to know Yahweh. And this calls the nation to acknowledge God's authority and to have intense devotion to the Lord. Remember, this is all taken off of God saying, I'm just going to go back to my place and I'm going to wait for these people to come around and respond through terror, through the troubles. So the prophet is urging the people, repent, let's avoid the troubles if we can. Anyway, the prophet himself knows that there are going to be troubles. Hosea then encouraged his countrymen that as sure as the sun rises, God would appear to bless his repentant people. This assurance of God's faithfulness to his Abrahamic covenant in Israel's behalf is reflected in Jeremiah 33, verses 25 and 26, where God promised to cast away the seed of Jacob only if his Genesis 8:22 post-flood covenant with Noah of the perpetuity of both day and night were to fail. So as long as there's day and night, in fact, in this prophecy also in Jeremiah, as long as there's a sun and a moon, so as long as the sun and the moon exist, as long as there's day and night, God is going to fulfill his promises to Israel. So he hasn't forgotten Israel. And this is another tremendous evidence that God plans on keeping his promises to Israel faithfully. He has yet to fulfill them. We know he's going to fulfill them because we've just had day today. It's beginning to get night. So we're going through the cycle of day and night. So God is going to, he's going to do it. And we should see the moon. I saw the moon earlier. I think it's still up. Anyway, we should see the moon, maybe early in the morning. And in the sun will rise tomorrow. And that's proof positive that God has not abandoned his people. So Hosea promised that God would come to bless his repentant people like the early winter and latter spring rains. Remember, the new year starts in September. And so the early rains come in the first part of the year. That would be Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, in the fall. And the latter rains come in the winter. You need the early fall rain, especially the latter rains, the winter rains, because that's when the crops are in the ground, especially the wheat, and you want it to fill out. So, Hosea promise that God would come to bless his repentant people like the early winter and the latter, or the fall actually, and latter spring rains that water the earth to yield Israel's much needed agricultural produce. The nation Israel and Palestine, even to this day, needs to be watered by rain. Now they have irrigation where they pump water out of the ground and they irrigate. But in the old days, they didn't have that. They had were entirely dependent upon the rain. And within this latter assurance is an intended critique of relying on the local Baal gods. And remember, the Baal gods were allegedly the gods that produced the rain that was needed for Israel's livelihood. But God is indicating that he, not the local Baals, was the true source of Israel's much-needed early and latter rains, something that people needed. In agricultural society, where the entirety of the produce of the crops, the animals, all is dependent upon rain, you could see the tremendous temptation that people had to worship the Baal gods, because that was the rain god. In fact, the early Jews didn't forsake God, but they decided, we better just cover the both bases. We're going to worship God and the Baals just to make sure that we get the rain. And then eventually that went into full-scale Baal worship. God didn't like that. He says, no, I don't want you to worship the Baal gods at all. I want you to look to me. I'm the one that brings the rain. So the lesson is realizing that the northern kingdom of Israel would truly repent only under great future trials and the great tribulation. God resolved to wait for those great trials to occur and longing for that repentance. Moved by realizing the great trial ahead for an unrepentant nation, Hosea urged his people to repent, to acknowledge the Lord's authority, and to be very devoted to him. For he would have been the one who had punished them. He would heal their other wounds. His blessing would be far longer than her punishment, and his goodness in providing blessings would belong to Israel, as he was the only true source of blessing as opposed to false gods. A couple applications here. If we have sinned, may we repent before God disciplines to save ourselves from much needless pain. It's interesting how much in the prophets God warned and warned and warned. He did not want to have to punish his people. Only the last straw, when they just wouldn't come around, would he lower the boom. And of course, when God lowers the boom, it's breathtaking. But God constantly tried to warn his people, please repent so I don't have to punish you. And then number two, may we acknowledge God's authority and be highly devoted to him for blessing, knowing that his blessing is far greater and far longer than his punishment, and that he alone is the source of all true blessing. Number three, if we, like Hosea, see other people headed for sure divine punishment, may we, like Hosea, cleave to the Lord opposite what others are doing and urge others to repent and to heed the Lord. There's a great need in our world today, both in our country and think of Afghanistan, other nations around the world, for people to get right with the Lord, for believers, especially the church, to align itself with the Lord. Pastors especially getting their act together and really ministering the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, and for people to come to put their faith in the Lord. I just can't help but think that the Lord does have the many great tribulation going on right now. There's so many things that have been popping. I mean, we had the fire that took out the New Hartford house, which has been around since 2 years before our church was built, I think. The situation in Afghanistan, the president has cut short his time in Camp David to get back to the White House over this deal. There's just so much that is going on, and I believe that the Lord is allowing the cage to be rattled. He's stirring up the nest because he wants people to get right with him. So if we see that we need to correct our way, may we repent. And if we see that there are others who need to have their way corrected, may we be sensitive as we deal with the issue, but seek to influence other people to live rightly with the Lord.